Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Actually,
here's John Williams.
Today I have three. First one in just minutes. It's 109. This is John. How are you? We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio. On Michigan Avenue. We appreciate you tuning in. Remember, all along the show, the number's 312-981-7200. Call or text. So Taylor Swift has a new song out. Have you heard this? She's got a new album coming out. We haven't heard from her in a few years with new material. So her new single is out. We don't have the music video, but there's a video with the lyrics, and you can now hear her first song. And her first song goes a little bit like this.
I don't like your little games. Don't like your tilted stage. The role you made me play of the fool. No, I don't like you. I don't like your perfect crime, how you laugh when you lie. You said the gun was mine. Isn't cool. No, I don't like you. But I got smarter, I got harder in the nick of time. Honey, I rose up from the dead, I do it all the time. I got a list of names and yours is in red underlined. I check it once, then I check it.
She's come a long way since you first heard.
Look what you made me do.
First time you heard Taylor Swift, right? She's angry, and she said the old Taylor Swift is gone. This is a new Taylor Swift. You haven't seen the video, but the stills that go with this in a sneak preview of the video shows that she's got a harder, sexier, glamorousier look. She's new. You know, she took down all of her social media, and it was like, what's Taylor Swift up to? And if you wondered, I'll bet she's going to come out with some new music. Well, she is. And it's quite the different look now, too. She's mad at Kanye. She's still upset about the disagreement they had about whether or not he could be using her in one of his songs. And there was a disagreement about did she give permission or not. And I guess that's been festering. Taylor, I forgot all about that. But she did not. Until later in the song, she sings this.
I don't trust nobody, and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody, and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I'm sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why?
And then it goes on like that. You know, I've never been a Taylor super fan. I've never been a Taylor hater. Lord knows she's pretty. She's talented. She can sing. She sure conducted herself well on the stage or on the stand during that trial. And she's super thoughtful and generous with her fans. You cannot criticize too much Taylor Swift. I've just never really... I know I'm not the target audience, so I get to have this. I've just never been swept up in Taylor mania. And I've always been just a little mystified by how angry she is, how she's always strikes me as being pretty defensive. I'm thinking, what was so bad about your life? And so you were a little embarrassed about this Kanye West thing or the last song or whatever. Really? This is bothering you that much? And so then she's got this new look out and this new sound. And maybe it'll go. I'm not even predicting.
So who else has done that?
Completely like, changed
yeah,
their tone.
I think the Beatles did.
A lot of artists did. And, you know, I was reading about this in Vulture. Well, they just said today, for instance, that, you know, pop music isn't stagnant, that you need to change and evolve, even individual artists, to say nothing of a genre. And so it's not wrong that Taylor's maybe sounding different or looking different. They just don't think this one works. They're not fans of it. One review.
I've got one.
What's that?
Miley Cyrus. You know, she sort of used culture appropriation. And then in her latest album, she's back to normal again.
A lot of artists do that. There's this version, and then they evolve, and then they go, well, are they going to, you know, think of how many groups or artists that you're a fan of had a sound, and then they put out an album, and you go, oh, I don't like this one because this doesn't sound like what I've known them for in the past. And then later on, maybe they, you know, readopt or adapt that. But, you know, I'm okay with that. It just isn't working for me, this song, per se. On the show today, I wanted to talk a little bit about that press conference that Sarah Huckabee Sanders had yesterday. Steve, that was going on during our show, right? The Sarah Huckabee Sanders White House press briefing?
Yes, it was.
And I did not know that she was going to be on with it yesterday, so I kind of missed it. And I don't know that I would have run it live because some of the questions are more interesting or relevant to you and me than others. But there's a couple takeaways from her.
He didn't say Mexico wasn't going to pay.
Okay, well, let's just start there. Elle, if we do have the Trump mashup, Mexico pays for the wall, right? You know what the president has said since he decided to run for office, and that is that he's going to build a wall, and Mexico's going to pay for it.
Who's going to pay for the wall?
100%.
I will build a great, great wall, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. By the way, Mexico's paying for the wall. As far as the wall is concerned, we're going to build a wall, and Mexico's going to pay for the wall.
I will tell you that the United States will not be paying for the wall. Mexico will be paying for the wall.
I could go on like that. I mean, you know he's been saying that forever. Then there was those leaked transcripts of the phone conversation he had with the president of Mexico where he said, look, I know you don't want to say it and I don't want to say it, so let's just not say that anymore. Let's figure out a way to do it, but don't press me and I won't press you on the issue anymore. But we're all left with the impression that the president wants to build a wall, and the idea at least has been that we won't pay for it. Mexico somehow will. Now the president is pressuring the Congress to pay for the wall, to appropriate funds. Maybe we'll get it back from Mexico, maybe we won't. But we're going to pay for the wall, and then we're going to live with that, or somebody else is going to compensate us for what we put out. But that's what the president, and if he doesn't get that, he's threatening to shut the government down. Now, that White House press briefing yesterday was the first one in a while. So if some of the questions to her seemed a little dated, for instance, they ask about General Pershing, it's only because they haven't had a chance to knock some of these out one by one as they come up. And the problem is Sarah Sanders goes up there knowing full well that these things are going to come up. It's sort of like a laundry list of things she doesn't want to talk about, and she couldn't get them checked off because she hasn't done a televised press briefing in a while. So when there is one, they're going to ask all of these questions. Which makes her job just that much more miserable.
Sir, the president promised over and over again during the campaign that Mexico would pay for the wall. So why is he now threatening a government shutdown if Congress won't pay for it?
The president's committed to making sure this gets done. We know that the wall and other security measures at the border work. We've seen that take place over the last decade, and we're committed to making sure the American people are protected.
Why is he threatening a shutdown over paying for it? I mean, again, he said over and over again, he talked about the campaign over and over again, he said Mexico's going to pay for the wall. He asked people, his crowds chanted back, and Mexico's going to pay for it. And now he's pushing, threatening a shutdown of the government.
Now, once again, the president's committed to making sure this happens, and we're going to push forward. Matthew.
Thanks, Sarah. About a week ago on August 17th, the president again referenced a fictitious story about General Pershing committing a mass execution in the Philippines. A couple questions on that. Does the president know that the story is false? And if so, why does he keep repeating it? And why does the White House think it's appropriate for the president to perpetuate this false story if he hasn't been informed that it's not true?
I haven't had a chance to ask him about that, so I can't speak to it.
Then on the broader point, so the president's spreading false information via his Twitter account that seems to encourage wartime atrocities. No one in the White House has thought to inform him that this story is false.
I didn't say no one had. I said I hadn't had that conversation, so I wasn't going to speak to something I wasn't aware of.
I want to read the comment from Senator Bob Corker. I'm sure you've seen him over a week ago about the president saying that the president has not yet been able to demonstrate the stability nor some of the competence that he needs to to demonstrate in order to be successful. He also said that he's not sure that the president understands the character of this nation. Do you have any response to that from a Republican senator?
I think that's a ridiculous and outrageous claim and doesn't dignify a response from this podium. Major.
Just to follow up on Jonathan's question, since the president is going full court press, threatening a shutdown over the funding of the wall, does that mean he is abandoning any efforts to negotiate with Mexico any payments for construction of the wall?
I certainly don't think any efforts have been abandoned. And an official happy birthday.
Presidents to get annual physical exams at Walter Reed. The president, I think, last released information about his medical condition last fall during the campaign. Can you tell us whether the president intends to utilize the federal facilities at Walter Reed this year to get a physical and then release that information to the public?
I'll let you know if that's going to happen. Trey.
Thanks, Sarah. On Tuesday, President Trump said, if we have to close down our government, we're building that wall. Does he stand by that statement?
Look, I think the president's been clear that this is a priority, protecting American citizens. As I've said multiple times today, he's committed to seeing that through.
Is he willing to force a government shutdown to get the wall built?
I think I've answered this question several times. Zeke.
Sanders out. So that was it in a nutshell. There's a half-hour press briefing in 3 minutes. Highlights for me. First of all, when they said the president is continuing to put out false information about General Pershing, in the old days, Sean Spicer would have fought back on that point. Spicer didn't give any ground. He was always fighting back and sometimes making it worse. Remember when he said that the Nazis didn't use chemical weapons? Spicer was always more combative. She's just utterly dismissive of either the stupid questions, the repetitive questions, the questions she cannot or does not want to answer. Some of the questions go like a minute. It'd be this sort of, you know, layered nuance. But he said this, so then this, and what about that? What does the president say about that? And she just go, I don't know, I didn't ask him. Sean. And then she just points to somebody else, just bats it away. Spicer, I recall, would more often dig his heels in. But what she's also then doing is conceding the ground. That, yeah, he didn't, that thing wasn't true. I know it wasn't true. It's not true, but I don't have an answer for you. Next. Maybe she's smart not to bring some of these things up with the president, because then she can honestly dismiss them as at least something she doesn't know. I love the question from Major Garrett. He was asking about the wall, and then after she dismisses that, she goes, oh, by the way, official happy birthday. Next.
did you didn't play, I don't know, did you have the very beginning of it?
No.
Because I don't remember exactly.
Well, I didn't play the very beginning.
Because it struck me, because the way she started, it was just like, I thought you guys would be more happy to see me around. And it was like she was throwing out the first volley. It was just unusual.
She came out, and as Violetta Podramedic pointed out on Rose's show yesterday, she had a nice blowout. She's got a little more of a glamorous look. She looked delightful. Sorry that I'm talking about how she appeared, but she did appear different. And then she just stood there, and she said, yeah, I thought you guys would be, I don't know, more happy to see me or in a better mood or more interesting or something
but
like that.
But she said it, she's saying it sarcastically, like, I know you don't like me. I don't really like you. And here we
I didn't
go.
See it that way. I
really?
Saw it as her trying to genuinely offer an olive branch.
Oh.
Like she was a little surprised. Hey, we're all back in the room together. Hey, you know, welcome back, Sarah. Hi, guys. Okay.
No way.
That's how I read it.
That's interesting because I took it just the opposite. It was like sort of.
F you out of the blocks?
Well, not quite that, but it just wasn't like, hello, here we go.
All right, Ella, see if you can find the very first moments. We got to pause here anyway. If we can get a read on that, we will. We'll play it back for you. But then did you notice after the questions about the wall, why is he lying about General Pershing? I don't know. Fine. And you know, the subtext to all of this anymore is,
we think the guy's cuckoo.
So then somebody very gingerly goes, and I love how they couched it. Presidents in the past have gone to Walter Reed for their physical exams. Has the president gone? Is he planning on going? We haven't really heard about his health since the fall campaign. Is he going to go to the doctor there? And now here comes the most important part. And is he going to release the results of that? Because presumably a physical exam might also include a psychological workup. And boy, would the New York Times and Washington Post love to get their hands on that. So is the president going to sit down, get a physical, and then let us know what's going to happen? And with as few muscles in her jaw moving as possible, she said, I don't know. I'll get back to you.
Don't you? Wouldn't you prefer he goes back to that New York doctor?
Yes, the guy who said he will be the healthiest president in human history.
Right. I mean, we're not going to really know. It's his private information. We don't need to know. I just like to hear him tell us.
I want him to go. By the way, if you just want to chuckle later today, maybe pull over if you're driving. Google images Trump doctor. Oh my God, what a funny picture that is. Anyway, and then they go back to the wall. So then after they say, okay, he won't tell us if he's nutty or healthy or not. What about the wall? And she goes, no, I'm done talking about the wall. Sanders out. But let me see if your read is clearer on the opening salvo than mine, Steve, in a minute. I haven't been to a University of Illinois football or basketball game in a while. Is this the war chant music they play at U of I football games? We believe it is here in the studio, but... So that sounds like at a game. And bum, 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 bum. Illinois has ended, Steve, a long tradition of playing what the program has called a war chant during sporting events.
Not going to do it. It was associated with Chief Alinowick.
Yeah.
And the chief has been retired, so...
Since they got rid of Alinowick in 07, the mascot for formerly of the University of Illinois.
It's been 10 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
And boy, what that was a dust up for years.
It's like changing Marshall Field's name, you know.
I know. And what is the lesson we've learned from all of that? That
the Frangomans come back.
No, I think we've learned. Well, I thought it was obvious that we've moved on. That no matter how
we survive it,
intractable right. people seem to be, in fact, we'll get over it. We'll get over it. We'll get some new students. We'll throw out these ones in 4 years, 5 years anyway, 5.5 years, whatever it takes. And we'll get some new students, and they won't be as married to the mascot, and the old ones will be bitter about it, but then they'll watch the games. You know, you got to evolve. You got to change. So now they don't want them to do this war chant music because they say that conjures up stereotypical images of Native Americans and that this is inappropriate. Can I listen to it? I'm not playing it to antagonize anybody, but Elif, if you can just play it one more time, the question for all of us is this sufficiently inappropriate that it has to go the way of Chief Alinowick? So let me know when you can play that again. By the way, Ron wanted to say something about Sarah Sanders yesterday at the White House press briefing. We played back some of that a few minutes ago. Hey, Ron, this is John. You're on the air. What did you want to say?
Well, first of all, did you see the video of the opening?
I did.
And you walked away with the feeling that she was amenable to the press? Because I walked away with the feeling that she had great sarcasm and scorn for them. She really dislikes them.
I don't mean to parse words with you here because I agree with you. She doesn't like the press. The press doesn't like her. What a bad job. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they can find a person who has a better rapport with the press when they represent this president. But yeah. I thought that, you know, every day you felt like Sean Spicer came up to bat with a hopeful attitude that today is going to be better than yesterday. And then it always crashed and burned.
Yeah, but there's also, you can see a lot of clips on YouTube of the press conferences. And there was one where one reporter just had his fill and said, you know, why do you stop lying to us? You know, we have a constitutional right to be here and to ask these questions, and you treat us like scum.
Yeah.
And basically, he went on to say that, you know, we are doing our job, and you know, with the White House talking against us like this, it doesn't bring anybody to this career, and you are doing more harm than good. And she just really dismissed him and said, like, well, then stop telling lies, you know, that kind of thing.
Boy, but that would cure a lot of sins, cure a lot of ills, wouldn't it, if they would just start to speak truthfully to the American people.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. I'm trying to be charitable here because that's my good nature. But when she walks up to the bat then, I think she says hello. She smiles, but, you know, it's not a big smile. And What is she going to say? What can she say?
Good afternoon. I'll take your questions.
I guess so. Right. So dispose of any.
Where are my balloons? I thought you'd be so happy to see me. You'd bring me balloons. We totally see this differently.
Right, because we all know that we don't get along. So isn't that acknowledging the elephant in the room and then saying that's on me? I know you don't have balloons for me because you don't like me. And at least I'm acknowledging that. That's how I read it. I don't try to be contrarian. I just sometimes see things differently.
Yeah, I guess I know what you're saying because she might have said it with a different approach, like with a chuckle. We don't, you know.
Well, she's just not capable of that. She doesn't have that tool in her box. What's up?
Well, it's just passive aggressive. When you add a passive aggressive layer to a conflict that's already there, it complicates things even more.
I guess so. I know she does sound. She is the very definition of passive aggressive up there. Spicer was aggressive. You kind of miss Spicy. Spicy would say, "Oh no, he didn't lie," and then he would start to go through some tortured, you know, manipulation of what the president said and meant, and actually try and land. And then he'd start to attack the media. He would just flat out attack. At least she doesn't do that.
My favorite thing was, well, not my favorite, but there's so many good ones. When he was asked something, you know, some question like Sarah did today or yesterday. Okay, I'll look into that. I'll look into that.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then so he was asked about it. Then 3 or 4 days later, hey, Sean, you said you're going to look into that. And he said, I did. I didn't say I was going to tell you.
He did. He actually had that conversation. Yeah. It's 1:45. Hey, we did find, is it Mike Iskovitz, who is a meteorologist at Fox 26 in Houston? Mike, I know you're real busy down there. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago now for just a few minutes, I understand. Thanks for taking our call.
I am honored to be on with you, John. And it's also very admirable you got my name perfect.
Only because my producer went in my ear, Iskovitz. Say Iskovitz. Where are you from?
Right. Originally, I grew up in South Florida. I was a beach boy from South Florida, but I've been here in Houston for 17 years.
Have you seen anything like this approaching the coast?
Not with this forecast track, I have never seen, no. Now, there have been some storms in the past that have done some really funky loop-de-loop kind of things. But to see a hurricane that's on the verge of becoming a Cat 3 and to see a forecast that calls for it to move inland and then stop and then do a couple of swirls and then come looping back around over Houston, that I haven't seen that before. Now, many years ago, there when I had sort of new and green in the business, just new here in Houston, we had a tropical storm named Allison. And that one moved in, I think it was on a Tuesday. So it moved in, flooded the city, went up to Dallas, came back at the end of the week and flooded the city again. So that was sort of unique, and that's what a lot of people are remembering and sort of comparing this to. But I'm trying to be optimistic on this one. I am rooting against this one big time.
Sometimes we all get it wrong. You think that, I mean, what's your best case scenario? Because the worst case I'm hearing is 36 inches of rain.
I know. That would be the worst. The worst case scenario would be that the storm moves inland slightly and then gets caught up in a weak steering current and just parks itself south of Houston and just rains on us for 3 or 4 days. That would be the worst. That would be the worst possible thing that could happen. Some optimism would be, you know, Texas, you know, West Texas is a desert, you know, and sometimes these storms can move in and suck in some dry air and it'll disrupt their circulation. That would be one thing that I'd be rooting for. Also, you know, sometimes all the models could be wrong and maybe this thing moves inland and kind of weakens a lot faster than it's currently expected to. But as for right now, at a minimum, what we're looking at here, at least in the Houston area, is the potential for flooding for about the next 2 or 3 days.
Can you talk about the possible storm surge and what does that mean?
Yeah, you know, well, you guys have a lake storm surge sometimes too. I mean, I've seen that happen, right?
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing to consider. But, you know, we have portions of our coastline. Actually, the entire Texas coastline is very flat, basically. So we have a series of little barrier islands where there'll be a beach and, you know, there's a touristy spot where you can go down to the beach, but really the land doesn't go very far above, maybe 3 or 4 feet above sea level. So there's a lot of places where when the wind pushes the water up against the coastline, they'll become covered in water very easily. And so those places have been evacuated, or at least I hope they have. There's been an evacuation order issued. So all the folks who live down there have been asked to leave, and hopefully they've done so. For the metropolitan area itself, we don't really experience much of a storm surge unless it is a colossal hurricane. If it were coming directly over us, we had Ike in 2009 that moved right over the city, and that did actually cause a storm surge for all of our little tributaries, which we call bayous down here.
Right.
We don't call them rivers. They're bayous. And so they empty down into this bay, and the water can back up into the city in that circumstance. But with this one, we're not expecting that. It's mainly going to be a problem at the beaches, and there's going to be beach erosion, and there are going to be some surfers out there who get into trouble. We've already seen them.
Yeah.
But they say they know what they're doing, and I believe them. But that's really the main issue on the beaches, is going to be a beach erosion and a minor storm surge kind of thing for us. Now, down around the town of Corpus Christi, they could have a very serious storm surge. And there are a lot of real similar kind of beachy areas down there that could get pretty well wiped out.
One last thing if you have time, Mike, and that is, I've seen people talk about Katrina whenever they talk about big storms down south anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I saw online today a reminder that Hurricane Katrina took 1,800 lives. I don't know exactly how they're accounting that, but that's what they said. Can you compare or contrast this in any way to what we went through with Katrina?
Yeah, you know, we went through Katrina, and then a month later we had Rita that came a lot closer to the Houston area. And the difference between this storm and those storms was that they were both Category 5s before they hit landfall. So Katrina may not have hit New Orleans as a Cat 5. It was a 3. But it was a giant Cat 5 before it hit. And so sometimes that can have lasting effects, even if the storm itself, you know, kind of weakens a little bit before landfall.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Hurricane Rita a month later. It also was a very unique situation in New Orleans, where you had a high population in an extremely low area with what turned out to be subpar flood prevention. You know, we had the failure of the levees and things like that that happened. So that was just a worst of the worst of the worst case scenario. I don't expect anything like that here. I mean, even in a big city like Houston, we're now the fourth largest city in the country, and we're continuing to grow. Even in a city like this, when we go through the some terrible floods, which we've had completely unrelated to hurricanes, we still manage to pull through. So I can't imagine that it's going to be anything worse than what we've already seen. But our concern is to keep people mainly off the roads. You know, that's where people die here in Texas. Especially, I'm going to tell you, John, we love our pickup trucks down here. And people have a lot of trust in their F-150s and in their 1500s. And that is how people get into trouble. I'm telling you, it happens every year. They think that they can drive through flood water, and they end up in a sort of a flood zone off to the side of the road, you know, like a ditch.
Yeah.
And they'll end up in there, and they'll end up drowning. I mean, it happens every year, and it's the saddest thing. And so that's what we're trying to prepare everybody for, to keep them from doing that.
I'll give you a call again down the road. Our best to everybody down there. If there's something you can imagine this radio station can do to help you out, let me know, okay?
John, thank you so much, and hello to everybody in Chicago.
Mike Iskovitz from Fox 26 in Houston, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
All right, here we go. Until 3, remember, in the last half hour on Fridays around 2:40, we want your bright side.
Lord have mercy.
Make sure you call in and give us some good news in your world. Tell me why you're smiling, and if nothing else, just say, hey, John, what's the current temperature? It's like 72 degrees and sunny. And that's the forecast for the next 10 days, give or take a couple of spots of showers and clouds here and there. But good grief, if you're in Chicago or in the sound of this voice, you can't complain about that. What's current temperature, Steve, at the lake, did you say?
Well, it's 74 degrees at O'Hare.
74 at O'Hare.
At the lake, it's 68.
Give me one more. 74 at O'Hare, lake 68.
Oak Park.
Cooler by the lake.
Oak Park.
Okay, now we're going a little more inland. Kind of on a line with where I am right now.
What does that have to do with anything?
Can a man triangulate without having to answer a million questions?
I mean, it's just two points would make a line in any direction. So
74.
We're all in a line.
Fair enough, Steve.
Okay, go ahead.
74 at O'Hare, 68th Lake. Huh. Boy, because you want to go. All right, I'm going to say 69, final answer.
That's a great guess.
69!
71 degrees.
So here's the way Divi works, because you don't know this.
I'm enjoying this story so much, and I haven't heard it yet.
Divi is not a recreational bike rental thing. It's a commuter bike platform. It's a commuter bike platform. So the reason you see all those blue bicycles around Chicago is so that people can ride bikes to and from errands or work or school. It's to get from here to there. It's not your bike for the day. That's not the point of Divi. If people gobbled up the bikes for the whole day or for half a full day, then there wouldn't be enough bikes. It's a bicycle sharing program. It's bike sharing. So if you say, hey, it's a beautiful day, let's take the divvies up and down the lake, which you can do, and you do see people doing this, well, you're either going to pay a lot for that privilege, or you're going to have to stop every half hour, put it into one of those racks so that it now thinks, oh, you've only shared the bike, you've only temporarily used it, and then take it back out and ride it some more. But that bike has to go into a rack every 30 minutes or less, or you're going to have to pay additional charges. Now you pay $9.95 for the privilege of riding it at all. Out the door, it's $9.95. I know it's $99 if you do it for the year, but and maybe a lot of you are doing that. Because frankly, I see a lot of people riding Divi bikes don't seem to have a care in the world, as I was recently. But maybe you're just doing it for the day. That's $9.95. And then, if you go more than 30 minutes, you pay an additional $2. And if you go more than 60 minutes to 90 minutes, you pay an additional $6. And if you go over 90 minutes, you pay $8 more on top of all of the fees you paid to get to over 90 minutes. And then you had the $9.95 to rent it for the day. And then if you do that with your niece when she's in town and she wants to see the lake, and say you're out for a couple of hours, just gaily riding bicycles and selling the city.
The wind rolling through your hair.
We paused and had a beer and some French fries at a place on the lake.
Well, you have to, sure.
Well, let's enjoy the city mm-hmm. on these virtually free Divi bikes. And then Brenda got the bill and she goes, hey, that Divi was $69.95. What did you do?
You'll never forget that afternoon.
We could have gone to Target and bought a bicycle. I could have put her in the basket for that amount of money. $69.95.
Not per, right? That's
all out the
right,
door.
Two of you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Steve. Well, there's my bright side. So I called Divi today, and I said, hey, what happened? And then she laid that out to me, and I said to her, honest to goodness, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that's what that was all about. She said, well, there's information at the station. And I said, yeah, but here's what you guys should say on those stations, I told her. You should say, hey, John, so you know, this is a commuter bike sharing program. This is for commuters to share a bicycle for a short time to get from A to B. It's not your bike to have for the day. But what if somebody wanted to do that? That is a reasonable thing to ask a bicycle rental program to do. And I would think on weekends, when people aren't using the bike to get to and from work, on weekends, say on a Sunday when your niece is in town, they should have a, I don't know, $15 max for half a day thing.
So
for 2 hours, it was $69.95.
So $35 for 2 hours to rent a bike.
Affirmative.
What would a bike rental cost you?
In my world, I think for that, I
should. Along the lakefront.
Well, I'll tell you what I think would have been a reasonable charge. Two of us, nice day, 8 million people, hundreds of thousands of visitors, but a lot of them have their own bikes. Not everybody's going to the lake. I would say that for two of us to $27.50, final answer.
$27.50? Okay.
Yeah. So less than half of what we paid. If you'd said to me, hey, John, if you and Lauren want to take the bikes up and down the lake for 2 hours.
Well, that's not less than what you paid.
Well, I paid 35 would have been half. I'm saying give me less than half.
Okay.
I even think $27 is high. For 2 hours, they got bikes all over. Make more. I think that's too much for a weekend rate.
You know what you can do, though, is you can get a 24-hour pass. So it's $9.95 a day, so about $20. But as long as you put the bike back every 30 minutes.
Which is ridiculous.
Which is, I agree with you, ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Because I said to the lady, I mean, so you cannot get the bicycle for less than $9.95. That's to get the bike. It's $9.95. Every single person you see riding up and down, unless they did an annual $100 pass, has agreed to pay $9.95 for the privilege of getting on that. And then if you go 31 minutes, it's an extra $2. Mm-hmm. But if you go 29 minutes and put it in the rack, and then it goes, oh, this bike's been returned, and then hit your coat, beep, 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 and pull it back out again, it doesn't know that you're the same guy or gal. So it thinks that somebody else is using it, or you're using it again, but you've put it away and now you're taking a bike out again. You're sharing the bike. Somebody else had access to it, even if you didn't even take your stuff off of it. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. You game the system if you do that. But she goes, yeah, that's all you got to do. Pull the bike back out. Just put it in, then take it right back out. Well,
that's silly.
Well, what's up with that? I said,
it's nice to have that asset in this city. In this big city.
I think it is a great thing. But it shouldn't cost you for 2 hours to go up and down the lake $70. And there's no way around that.
And it shouldn't only be for commuting. Because if you don't have a bike in the city and you want to ride the bike down the lake, which is what you did,
yeah.
And I like to do that,
yeah.
Then you should have some.
There
the
ought
city
to be an
needs
option.
To come up with something.
I know. They're just, and I'm not divvy. Clearly, I'm not. But I mean, shouldn't there be a better option than this? And am I the only one that's done that? Because thank God we only went for 2 hours and 1 minute. Because imagine if we had spent, because I was now at the $8 per half hour level. I mean, really, if we had, because I said we have the bikes for the day. It says one day rental, $9.95. And then there were some other numbers and things I didn't pay attention to. But I thought $9.95, okay, that's fair. Mm. Imagine if we had had the bike for like 12 hours. If we'd taken it out at 8 in the morning and brought it back in the evening, which I was thinking about doing, I would be sitting here with a wooden barrel around me. I wouldn't have any money left. All of my money would have been gone.
So what are you doing this weekend?
I'm buying some bicycles.
You should open up your own bike rental shop on the lake. Just bring it over there. Bring a truth in advertising sign. This is what Divvy will cost you. This is what Johnny will cost you.
I'll be the Lyft to their Uber.
Right, there you go.
And you can tip me if you want. It'd still be less. It'd still be less. I'm sorry. So is this about me? No, of course it's not.
No.
It's about how can I help you, and I'm just telling you, this was my experience, and be warned. It's not that easy to understand as a novice what the charges are and stuff, because it says $9.95 one day, all day rental. And then it says $2 for 30 minutes. And I'm like, no, I don't want that. I want $9.95. And I just paid $9.95. So I guess the $2 for 30 minutes and $6 for 60 minutes and $8 for 90 minutes doesn't count for me because I've already got it for the day.
You didn't sign a 2-year contract, did you?
I just got out of a cable deal that was going to cost me thousands of dollars.
Because you didn't read all the words?
Well, they wanted me to check a box.
I can see that it's clearly them.
Okay.
No. I can
give me
case,
a little something.
No. Yeah, I've heard from others too that it is confusing.
And
it's just too much fun.
I'm fortunate enough that I can lose $70, you know, get an education for $70. They could have charged me more for how smart I am now, but still, that's just not a reasonable rate. Harold wanted to say something. You're on WGN. Hi, Harold.
Hey, John. What's going on?
Well, I'm $70 thinner. How are you?
Whether $70 or not, I ain't any thinner. I'll tell you that. Poor John, she was picking on him every day. I gotta tell you, when we go on the critical mass ride, there's always somebody riding with a Divvy bike. And I'm like, those rides go on for a couple, two and a half, three hours. And I'm like, those people are probably paying some tall cash to ride it. They sit at Daily Plaza for an hour before we go. So they probably have that bike out there for half a day. I bet you they don't realize they're paying.
That's what I was wondering. I'll bet a lot of people found out what it really costs when they got the bill. Because, you know, you swipe your credit card and then you just go off like a couple of clams having a great time. I don't know what the expression a couple of clams means, but there it is. And I here's what my expectation is also, though. Harold, thank you for the call. I got to run, but evidently a lot of you are on the $99 for the year thing, right? You must be doing the $99 for a year, because otherwise it makes no sense. You know, you cannot enjoy this thing. It's too expensive unless you're doing $99, and then you're paying, but you're still paying $2 for the 31st minute, and you're paying $6 more for the 61st minute, and you're paying $8 for the 91st minute, even if you have the $100 plan, but you just save yourself the $9.99 up front. I'm just telling you that. Let's talk to, I think it's Sherry. Sherry, this is John. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John. Listening to you about the Divvy bikes, my friends and I, now this was before Divvy bikes, but we came in, we're from Rockford, and we came in for the day and wanted to ride the path along the lake. And I think we had the bikes probably from 10 to 1 or something like that. But we just rented bikes at the North Avenue Beach house, boathouse. And maybe they don't do that anymore, so it's so that everybody has to use the divvies. But that was real slick, because I want to say that was like $10 for that amount of time.
You know, you're right. They still do that. They still do that. They have those bike rental kiosks at North and some other places along the lake.
Right. And that's what we did. And it was just real perfect, because we didn't, I mean, we could have ridden other places, but we just stayed on, you know, the whole way up the lake and back.
Oh, it's so great. It's great. You know,
that would have been an option for you.
I'm going to give you my phone number. And the next time I make a decision, I'm going to call you, Sherry, okay?
I'm telling you, John, whenever you just give your credit card, that always makes me nervous. That's like when the kids go to the bar and give their credit card and leave it there as their evening goes on.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Thanks for the call, Sherry.
Okay.
Happy to help. John, I've rented bikes here. This is another bike rental place on the lakeshore. Yeah, $35 for 4 hours. Still, $35 for 4 hours, but that's better than $35 for 2 hours and 1 minute. 2 hours and 1 minute. You know, that's funny, isn't it? We did 2 hours and 1 minute. Why couldn't we have gone 1 hour and 59 minutes? 2 hours and 1 minute is 60 seconds into the next half hour at a higher rate. Such is life. It's 2:20. Okay, so who is this Roger Stone, and what did he say, and do you agree with it? Coming up on WGN. Saw this online yesterday, and then I think Roe played some of the audio from Roger Stone as well yesterday. But political advisor, has run campaigns.
Yep. He, during the 2000 recount, James Baker was representing George Bush, and he famously, I guess, said at one meeting, "Get me Roger Stone." Because Stone is sort of a dirty trickster guy.
Right. So I understand.
Alternative thinking sort of guy.
And was a partner with Bannon in this four-person firm that ran campaigns and did stuff.
No, not Bannon.
Manafort.
Manafort. Right. And Charlie Black, I think.
Yep, who was Black is also there.
One time an RNC chairman.
Yeah, because I don't know all the names. Black was one of them as well. Okay, so anyway, there he is at the airport. TMZ catches up with him. They asked him about the results of the election and about the possibility that Donald Trump might not be president through his first term.
Do you think there's any chance that he might be impeached?
Try to impeach him. Just try it. You will have a spasm of violence in this country, an insurrection like you've never seen.
You think?
No question.
You think if he got impeached, like the country
both
would go
both sides to... are heavily armed, my friend. Yes, absolutely. The people will not stand for impeachment. A politician who votes for it would be endangering their own life. There will be violence on both sides. I'll make this clear. I'm not advocating violence, but I'm predicting it.
If he got impeached, there'd be some sort of civil war type.
Yes, I do. That's what I think will happen.
I think he's right about something there. I think that there would be a spasm of violence. I think people would not tolerate it. You saw those armed militia in Charlottesville. I don't know who they're going to shoot at each other. I don't know if they're going to shoot at, you know, senators who would vote for or against it. I don't know what would happen, but I think there would be violence in this country. I think people would feel like the presidency was unfairly taken away from their president. And if Trump were to be impeached, and by the way, impeached and convicted on charges.
Or removed from office.
Removed from office. Those are different things. But I mean, if he were removed from office as a result of an impeachment, I think there would be hell to pay.
And so why is that different had Bill Clinton been removed from office?
Wouldn't have been the same.
I agree. But why do you think that is?
Well, for one thing,
we got a lot more guns now.
Also, Clinton did not vilify the media or even the opposition the way Donald Trump does.
Okay.
I mean, think about that. Donald Trump said that the press is the enemy of the people.
Don't like America.
Right. So he always tells, he did it in Phoenix the other night. Turn around and look at them. Look at the media. Vilify them. They're your enemy. These are his words. They are the enemy of the people. So if Trump, for some reason, is not president, and particularly if he's ousted from office through impeachment charges, I think that would be a very dangerous scenario. And you do not for one minute think that he would do something to tamp down the flames, to keep people in check. He would not go quietly. What that guy is saying, I think, is, and I so be careful what you ask for, was what I was telling myself. You go, oh, man, not that I want Donald Trump to be impeached. I think better and more likely he just quit in a huff. And probably that's not going to happen either. But if he were to be impeached and you go, oh, hooray, oh, man, would we have hell to pay? And I hadn't thought about it in those terms. You always think about that as that's the end game.
Right,
Trump impeached. Oh, no, that's just the beginning of the hell, right?
Well, I don't know if it's just the beginning. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. But, I mean, I certainly could see it, too.
Round two, yeah.
Roger Stone probably flew through six or seven airports before he could find a TMZ reporter. Because he's that kind of guy, too.
Hey, it doesn't make him wrong.
No, it doesn't. But promise me you'll watch that movie.
Get me Roger Stone. Okay, but that's not what I'm talking about, right?
No, I know.
Don't kill the messenger here. Well, I think what he's saying is true.
I think it could be true.
Tom, you wanted to say something? You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John. This is your Greek chorus guy. The 25th Amendment has provided...
Not going to happen. 25th Amendment's not going to happen.
No, but the incapacitation.
But the vice president has to endorse that. That's not going to happen.
He doesn't have to endorse it, but he has to be part of it.
He does.
He has to start the process.
He does.
Imagine
how much kookier things have to get for Mike Pence, who can't help but gaze lovingly at the image of Donald Trump each and every day. For Mike Pence to turn on him, a special kind of kooky has to happen that we have not seen yet. In the world we live in now, that's not going to happen. If you want Donald Trump out of office, the 25th Amendment is not your ticket.
John, not only the vice president, but half of the cabinet. So, I mean, yes, it's a big.
If you want a Trump out, I don't know what was the most likely scenario. He could die of natural causes. Let's not even talk about his death. Just to talk about he would have to be impeached and convicted on charges and removed from office. He would have to quit, or the Congress would have to, his cabinet and vice president would have to determine that he's incapable of serving. I think the most likely of those three scenarios is that he would just quit. He'd say, fine, you know what? If you people don't want it, fine. I gave you every option to make America great again, and the Republican Congress didn't want it, so fine, I'm going to quit. I think that would be the most likely scenario.
More importantly, if Congress goes to the Democrats, that raises the likelihood that the conversations would be intensified.
Yeah, right. I think that kind of plays into my scenario, too. Now, we would have really reached a point of intractability, and he would just say, skip it, then I'm done. If that's what you people want, then fine. Tom, I appreciate the call. I'm going to go from you to Danny. Danny, what did you want to say? You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I agree with him. If he got impeached, there'd be a war in his country like you'd never saw before.
We'd have a civil war.
Yes, we would.
I don't know what you'd call it, but I think we'd have something. Danny, thanks for the call. Elif said, hey, you're late for a break, you big dummy, and you've still got to do the bright side. Imagine that. coming up on WGN. A couple people tweeted to me, Steve. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue on WGN. Our Bright Side segment coming in a couple of minutes. A couple folks tweeted to me and said, why are you giving Roger Stone any credit or credibility? And I said, listen, I don't know this guy's story. I don't know him or that well. I just saw that clip and I thought, you know, he may be onto something there. And then somebody called in and said to producer Elif, well, why are you saying that Trump supporters would be more violent? And I don't have an answer for you on that. All I'm saying is that given what happened in Charlottesville and given how Trump is so able to fan the flames of his supporters, I think many of them would feel so cheated, so robbed of his presidency if he were removed from office, that it would lead to a perilous time. The transition could be violent. I don't know what that means. I don't know what I'm not calling it a civil war. I'm saying that I think it would be dangerous. I don't think that's me skating out onto ice that's too thin there. Do you, Steve? No.
I think there's a potential for danger, but you never know how long it would last. And I mean, I think if
you can just see people saying, I can't believe the media did this or they did this. And so then they are marching.
OK, let me say this and you tell me if I'm wrong. I'm treading lightly here carefully. Yeah. But I think that a lot of the Donald Trump's supporters, those who we see at rallies, are the pro Donald Trump, but they're less gushing at Donald Trump than they are angry at the things that Donald Trump is pointing out.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe
so they're more against exterior things. So there's they can be a more angry crowd than someone who's cheering on George W. Bush or Barack Obama or Bill Clinton. Right. I mean,
right.
They're more railing against other things, external things.
That's his.
So that could lead to anger.
Sure. And I think they have ready targets for that anger as well. I mean, he's told them time and again, you know, who the problem is. It's the media or it's the Democrats or it's the immigrants. I mean, that's what this has always been about. When he's at those rallies.
Or George M.
He's George M.
Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's not up there telling you how great things are or how great he is or how well things are going. He does a little bit. But when he did that rally in Phoenix, he did about 20 minutes on the media being the problem. So I think that answers that question. You know, I think therein lies some of the difference. You know, on Weekend Update, where they're doing these during the summer?
Every Friday, I remember that I forgot to watch.
Okay, so here's just one. So there he was explaining, and they played the clip on Weekend Update the other night, of him explaining how he was able to bat back all of the hate groups. The media and the Democrats were saying that he wasn't good enough at renouncing them. So they were talking about that on Weekend Update.
I hit him with everything. I got the white supremacists, the neo-Nazi. I got them all in there. Let's see. Yeah, KKK. We have KKK. I got them all.
He's listing off hate groups like they're Pokemon cards. I got Squirtle. I got the Charmander. Ooh, KKK. And look, it's evolving into an alt-right. This is my favorite moment when Trump was saying how much he loves everyone in America, regardless of race.
I didn't say I love you because you're black, or I love you because you're white, or I love you because you're from Japan.
He thinks the three options are black, white, and Japan. That pause before he said Japan. During that pause, all he was thinking was, don't say yellow, don't say yellow.
No, yeah, that's all very true and observant, Colin, but I still want to know, who was this?
Then they show up the picture of the black guy, the blacks for Trump, who is a special conversation unto himself. Okay. Let's do a couple of things going on in the city and suburbs. We like to just highlight a couple of them on Fridays at this time. Then we take a break. We open up extra phone lines, and we give you a chance to call in on the Bright Side. That's where you tell us what some good news in your world is. It could be as simple as the weather. It could be, I don't know, you got tickets to the Cubs game when they're back in town. Cubs are back in town. Hey, Kevin, are the Cubs back in town today or Saturday or Sunday? When do the Cubs play back at? No, Lady Gaga's in town tonight.
Yeah, they're in Philadelphia this weekend.
Yeah, I thought that they were back Sunday, but I guess not. Because Gaga's in town. Maybe you're going to the Lady Gaga concert tonight. Whatever it is that's making you happy. By the way, Washed Out at the Metro tonight. Few tickets left on StubHub, 8 o'clock. Cards Against Humanity is on stage at the Greenhouse Theater Center tonight, $10 at greenhousetheater.org, the real-life version of the game. Haven't heard about Cards Against Humanity in a while. In Burbank, it's the Burbank Farmers Market from 8 to 12:30, North Glen Oaks Boulevard and East Olive Avenue. I presume that's tomorrow, well, if it doesn't say here. And in Darien, M&R Rush Live Band at Joliet Area Historical Museum. That's tonight, $7.30, $8 for museum members, $10 for students. I think one of the great things to do in the city, especially on a nice weekend, is the Randolph Street Market, and that's this weekend. Not only do they just have the coolest stuff there and really good food, surprisingly good food, but I think the music that performs at the Randolph Street Market is always spectacular. It costs, I think it's 10 bucks to get in. I think it's worth it. And here I've been complaining about the cost of things lately, but I think a dollar spent at the Randolph Street Market is always a dollar well spent. Okay, here's my phone number, 312-981-7200. Tell me your good news, 312-981-7200. Our bright side is next.
Some things in life are bad.
You can call.
They can really make you mad.
Or you can text.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
I got bad news for you, Elif. Oh, now the screen
when
is back.
When you're chewing on
life. Looked like my screen
gristle.
Was gone. My screen is back.
Grumble.
All right, here we go.
Give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Call or text and tell us.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Tell us some good news. Why you're smiling. Something that's good in your world. Steve, you got anything you want to share with the whole class?
Yep. Tomorrow about 9 o'clock in the morning, we'll load up the car, and I'll take my son back to college for his sophomore year. Just me and him in the car. I'll be listening to the radio. He'll have his headphones on.
I knew you were going to say that. My bright side is the weather. I'm sorry, it's too easy, but doggone it. I got a friend in town, Brendan, and I'll probably go over to the lake, and how do you not love the weather? I mean, really, this is the end of August? Are you kidding me? This has been amazing.
Always look on the
bright side. All right, we'll start with Dave. Dave, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Dave? Hi.
Good afternoon, King John.
Hey.
We took your advice. We took the Riverboat Twilight.
And?
And we talked to Captain Kevin. He said, I talked to John Williams when he was on the boat.
We had a great time.
We had a ball. And then, two nights ago on Channel 11, they interviewed Paul Mikey. He paddled the entire length of the river from Lake Itasca
wow.
to the Delta.
I'm glad you found that, Dave. You know, we do those commercials, and I'm telling you the truth. Brendan and I did go on that a couple of years ago. I think it's a delight, the Riverboat Twilight. Dave, thanks for the call. We go from you to Jeanette. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Jeanette?
Hi, John. So glad you're back in Chicago.
Likewise.
And we are celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary tomorrow.
Happy anniversary. Boy, what a great day you have for that, huh?
Yes, thanks.
Hey, Lou, this is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Lou?
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, I got a threefold. My granddaughter just had a surgical procedure, and it came back benign, which was very, very good to hear.
Amen.
And my wife and I, we are retired. We're living relatively comfortably.
Good news.
And we're just about ready to go on a vacation next week.
Wow. Where are you going?
Up to Canada on a fishing trip.
That sounds really good. I have never done anything like that. That's on my bucket list. Have a great time.
Thank you, sir.
Is it Akash or Akash? You're on WGN. Hi.
Hey, King John. It is Rakesh.
Oh, Rakesh, how are you?
And I'm fine, thank you. In your kingdom, I finally managed to get a new job. I will be a jazzician, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't. Were you going to be a what?
Like musician?
Yeah.
We are called jazzicians. I joined Jazz Pharmaceuticals. I start on 9/11.
Have a great career. Thank you for sharing that. I'm glad that it's working out good for you, Rakesh.
Thank you.
Let's go from Rakesh to line 6. Hey, Don, this is John. What's your good news?
Hello, King John. How's things on Friday?
It's good. Give me some good news. Don, what have you got?
My good news is Gulf City High School opens their football season tonight, and it will be my 100th football game I've announced for them.
Oh, yeah, I know. You do the games. By the way, are all high schools playing high school football this weekend?
Yes, they are.
You're kidding. The high school football season starts tonight.
Starts tonight, sir. It's a beautiful thing. You need to come call a game with me.
Good luck to the Kohlers, Don. Keep me posted, okay?
Thanks, John.
Always look on the light side.
Hey, Leslie, why are you smiling? You're on the air.
Hallelujah. I just heard from my throat doctor that I can go back to singing.
And that's to love and smile, dance and sing.
I'm glad to hear it. Hey, Tom, this is John. You're on the air. What's your bright side?
How you doing, John?
Hey, man, good.
2:30 this morning, my 25-year-old son, or this coming morning, my 25-year-old son and my 19-year-old daughter and myself are taking a 5.5-hour ride to Cedar Point Amusement Park in Ohio.
Oh, friends of mine go there. They love that place.
It's nice. It's about the fifth time we've been there already this year.
Oh, man, what a great weekend. It's nice that they're still willing to play with Dad, you know?
Exactly.
Have a great weekend, Tom.
You too, John.
Your life is quite absurd, and death's the final word.
Hey, Lisa, this is John. You're on WGN. Give me some good news, Lisa.
Hey, John, it's my Friday, and I go on a vacation for 88 hours.
So let's see, 24, 40, so what's that, about 3.5 days?
88 hours is 2 weeks and 1 day.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. Have a great weekend. Have a great vacation.
Thanks, John.
This is Sue. You're on WGN. Hey, Sue, what's your bright side?
My bright side is that my son is home from grad school in California for about 10 days, and I haven't seen him since January, so I'm very happy that he's home for a bit.
Enjoy that. Thanks, Sue. Hey, this is Colleen. Hey, Colleen, it's John. What's your good news?
Well, my bright side is that we had a rain burst in Schaumburg about a month ago, and I've been living on concrete floors ever since, and I finally got the go-ahead to get my place somewhat back to normal, so that's my bright side.
I'm telling you, we kind of forgot about all of the things people like you have had to endure. You're still just getting it put back together, huh?
Yeah, still getting it put back together. Unfortunately, no FEMA assistance, and insurance isn't covering anything, but you know what? Such is life. You just move on, and got to roll with the punches. So we'll get back to normal sooner or later, but at least the process is starting.
I like your attitude, Colleen. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you, John.
How about Sherry? Hey, Sherry, you're on the air. What's your bright side, Sherry?
My bright side is I received a letter in the mail today. My daughter got a $1,250 scholarship for her junior year of college. God is good.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Woohoo! Thanks for the call. How about Sarah on 7? Hey, Sarah, this is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hey, John. My bright side is that a friend of mine just contributed a little bit more than half of the money so that I can go see Garth Brooks front row on my birthday.
Where are you going to go on your birthday?
I'm going to go see Garth Brooks down in Indianapolis. That's nice. Front row ticket.
Wow. Wow, that's a good friend, huh?
Yes.
Wow, Sarah, have a great time.
I always look on the bright side of life.
Hey, Elaine, why are you smiling today? You're on the air.
Hi. I'm very excited because we're getting a show golden retriever puppy. My daughter shows golden retrievers, and so this is going to be the nephew of the golden retriever we have.
Have a great time with that dog. Hey, by the way,
do you want
a couple of wiener dogs? I can get you a couple.
Sure.
All right, hold on. I'll have to get her name and number. Friend, I got news for you. Let's talk to Rich. This is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Rich?
I took my two grandsons and some friends of mine to Chester, Illinois on Monday. We saw the total eclipse of the sun, a cloudless sky. It was the most awesome thing. I'm 66 years old. It was great.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you
forgot all about that. That was the start of the week. Wow. Hey, Rich, I appreciate the call, and thanks to you all for calling in on the bright side. Producer Matt / host Matt is in the studio. He's filling in on the afternoon show. He's got, do you want to do a bright side, Matt? What's your bright side?
I think if I'm filling in on the afternoon show.
You're not producer Matt.
Host Matt.
Yeah, not
formerly producer Matt.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Just part of me.
Well, that's how I first knew you. All right, I have to take a commercial break.
Yeah, let's do that.
Then visit with us. Matt Bubala's in for Ro and Anna. What's going on, Matt?
Not too much, John Williams. How are you? What are you looking forward to this weekend? What are you doing?
The weather.
You're going to
I think Brenda and I are going to go dancing at Millennium Park.
Oh, really? Is there a dance at Millennium Park?
They do that thing where they have dance at Millennium, dance in the parks kind of thing, and they have people out there, and they teach you how to dance. You go over and dance.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's a fun thing to do, I've been told.
I noticed you walked Bingo out to the Green Day concert last night.
Yeah, put Bingo in his G7 dog stroller with the mesh canopy.
Yeah.
Got a lot of traction on that. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm WGN King John. And
I liked your response to it. Somebody called you out on that, John. You have a dog stroller, and you said, no, I don't. Bingo does.
Bingo does. I just push it. And people go, oh, it's so adorable. I go, I know. Please don't. We don't have to talk about this. I do not want to be the guy with the dog in a stroller, but
you're,
I am.
Putting out pictures on Twitter on you with the dog in a stroller.
Whatever. What are you doing on your show today, Matt?
We're doing a lot of stuff today, John. We're going to have Heidi Stevens, our friend from the Chicago Tribune, in for an hour. Troy LaRavier. Do you know who Troy LaRavier is? So you need to get to know Troy LaRavier. He is like the biggest thorn in Mayor Emanuel's side. He's a former principal from Blaine Elementary School. He worked with the Chuy Garcia campaign to run against Rahm. He's now the head of the Chicago Principals Association. And he is a very outspoken critic of the way we fund the schools, take care of the schools, do everything. And now he's looking into running for mayor.
Got it.
He'll be with us at 4 o'clock. We're going to have a Carnival wagon at 5.
Oh, you get to do that?
Oh, yeah, John.
I thought roll-locked that thing up.
No. That's still coming in. Adam Hogue will talk a little Bears and Northwestern Wildcats with us. We'll talk to somebody at the Hurricane. We're going to talk to somebody in Vegas. Are you ordering the fight tomorrow night?
I am not ordering the fight tomorrow.
You
want to
come over? I'm ordering the fight. The kids want to watch the fight.
Is it $99?
I don't know. The HD is probably even more. I'm going HD if I'm doing it. So,
yeah, no.
It's $100 for HD, $90 for standard. I don't know who wouldn't splurge for the extra
$10.
Yeah,
$10. If you're going to throw away almost $100, you might as well throw away $110.
Right. For $90, you got 10 more.
You want to come out? You can come out.
I sure don't. No.
Okay. Bring Bingo.
No.
Kev, you want to come over tomorrow night?
Possibly. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for the invite.
Violetta, it's a standing invitation with you. Because Judy will already be there because Judy sleeps on a couch most
I wouldn't pay $100. You can go to a bar and watch it for $30.
Can you do that?
Yep. You got to buy your drinks at the bar. I'll have drinks for free for you, Jude.
Well, it's not $100 a person if you go to Matt's house.
I spent $100.
I won't charge any of you anything. You can just come on over.
Wow, the Pacquiao fight? You remember the Pacquiao fight?
Yes.
I bought that.
You did buy that.
I did buy that.
We're at a friend's house.
Boy, is that money well spent, huh?
Well, you have to make an evening of it and just enjoy the evening. Whatever happens in the stupid fight happens.
Yeah, can't
it might not be
that.
So good. And Daniel Hinkle from your Chicago Tribune will be on after 6 to talk about that big story about the tasers. All the cops are getting tasers.
Yep.
But the Tribune did a big study that they're not so happy with the way some cops are using them. So we'll do a lot of stuff. And then I'm going to Lady Gaga tonight.
Are you serious?
Yes,
you've got tickets for Gaga.
Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Do you want to see him?
No, yes. But I mean, I didn't know you were a Gaga fan.
I'm a huge Gaga fan.
You paid money for those?
I paid a lot of money.
I know. What did you pay? What did those set you back?
I'm not telling you that.
$100?
Well over $100.
I'll bet he did.
We're on the field.